Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 196. This is part two, Doubting. Today is Sunday, May 29th, 2011. Have a great Memorial weekend.
El gato amor, el gato amor, el gato amor, ya, el gato amor. Oh, when the Lord get ready, el gato amor.
Just a quick announcement for those of you who were in the tornado and suffered damage in the tornado in North Minneapolis. We had extensive damage, a lot of trees down, a lot of houses, roofs taken off, and praise God, there were only two deaths, one during the tornado and one after, from a man who was helping his neighbor. So just want to let you know, if you need to register for groceries, we are closed on Monday for the Memorial Day holiday, but we will be open on Tuesday at 9:30. You can come in, bring your picture ID, a current piece of mail, and you can register your household for monthly groceries. So be sure to do that. And we are just thankful that Pastor Paul's Club and Disciples Ministries Mikra Kodesh Synagogue was not affected by the tornado. If you are coming to the church for groceries on Tuesday, if you come on the south side, you should be able to get through. I know they've been doing a lot of cleanup, and a lot of those trees, they have been just hauling trees out left and right. So be sure to come in, get groceries. And for those of you who can't afford to send a donation, we would appreciate your support. God bless you and have a great Memorial weekend.
Why did it have to be me? We want to be somebody else? How many are hearing this? And so right away we start to doubt God. God was a loving God. He wouldn't make me with his big rear end, big nose. How do you know that? Are you hearing this today? Understand that God leaves you at no time. He's in that three-way mirror with me. I didn't know it at the time. But God spoke to me right there. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? Doesn't he prove this over and over and over again that he will always keep us? You are kept by the power of God, even unto the end, even unto the last, he will be our keeper. And so never contrary to the evidence. Even the world says, not guilty. And when they say not guilty, they will not reverse their decision. You can't reverse it. Not guilty. And when they hang a man, if it doesn't work, they can't hang him over again. They're fairer than some Christians. Because if they don't hang you the first time, they'll try several hangings. Public. Public. Preacher called me the other day and said, God, brother, I'll tell you, it seems like every dart and every knife is in my back. I've experienced that. Back, I said, a guy come up and I said, what's the problem? He says, what? There's not a spot in your back where I can put a knife. And he walked away. He went and talked to his friend. He said, you know what? I went over to Pastor Paul's and I couldn't find a place to put a knife. Everybody else beat me to it. He said, throw some rocks at him. I didn't think of that. Why didn't I think of that? How about running over him with a truck? Ooh. That's the way we are, isn't it? The carnal mind is enmity against God. Preacher, did you hear that? Learn to laugh in the face of adversity. Learn to laugh at it. Learn to have joy. It'll pass. They'll find somebody else. You'll get boring after a while. Well, while they're busy with you or you or you or you or whoever's going through a hard time, they're not on somebody else. So in a way, you're sort of a little savior. But also, this explanation of David was contrary to God's promise. Samuel had poured the anointing oil. Do you remember that over David's head? And flowed down over his head and through and so on like that. And God promises David here that he would be king, you remember? And so would he let David die by the hand of Saul? How can the promise be fulfilled if he would die? And we forget the promises of God that he's given us already. And so many times God had assured his servant David that he had chosen the son of Jesse to be the leader of his people. Would he now let him die? How would it be true then? Would David's dead body be propped up? And so, you see, it was contrary to God's promise that David should fall by his enemy's hand. In fact, it says, no weapon should be caused to prosper. And that's for all of you. See, Christian, it is contrary to every promise of this precious book, of the Bible, that we should become a victim of the lion of hell. And so then, how then can we be true and say like this? And the Bible tells us, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yet that she may forget, yet will I never forget thee. I mean, your mother would hardly forget you, but if it does happen, I'll never forget you. Well, then, what was the value of that promise? The mountain shall depart and the hill shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. You hearing this? God has mercy on you. Oh, so many times when you minister, there's, you know, people aren't really listening. They're looking for some kind of something that's a little bit off, or maybe you'll trip over the cord or mispronounce a word or something like that. They're really not into it. My God, why not? Why aren't they? Because of unbelief. See, if we really believe, and we're reading from the Word of God, every word, every portion that came out, we want to hear it. We want to grab it for our own. It's a morsel. Sometimes I even use incorrect English and it gets people's attention. You ever heard me do that? You skies out there? You got to get their attention somehow. You on the radio, I got to get your attention somehow. God's promises are always true. Are you hearing this today? Oh. I have four preachers that I'm dealing with. I know one name, the other three, I don't know their names. They call on the radio. Are you listening? I'm ministering to you. Where would be the truth of God's words? I will give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. And so, preacher, don't you be swayed by any other wind of doctrine, or you will cause the spirit of unbelief and then where would be the doctrine of grace? There would be a proven lie if one of God's children should perish, just one. Where would be the veracity of God? Where would be His honor, His power, His grace, His covenant, His oath? If any of those for whom Christ has died and who He had put and who had put their trust in Him should nevertheless be cast away, it can't happen. And so never ever distrust God's word. Never, preacher. But David even went further. His exclamation was contrary to what he himself had often said. Have you ever preached faith to someone and then spoke the words of doubt to yourself? I have, to my own shame. And you have condemned the unbelief of other people, but when you were in a trial, you played possum, you played dead. How terrible that you would be so unbelieving, and then and you just melted and you played dead. Huh? Huh? How many hearing this today? Oh, we can be great at preaching at everybody, but how about receiving it for yourself? See, preachers, if you don't go through any kind of trials, you don't even know what you're talking about. Now, we're headed for trials. It says in the end, many seducing spirits will be loose from the pit. And there will be a great division and a great cause of division all over. And there'll be a separation between the sheep and the goats. And there'll be a line drawn. And there'll be sightseers and there'll be workers. And there'll be people that are running and there'll be people that are in the grandstands. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. What's godly? Obeying God. Are you hearing this? So you played possum, did you? Or you were much troubled? You said, oh, forget the whole thing. That's what you told me on the telephone. I felt like saying, forget the whole thing. I was never so shocked in all my life. I was going downtown to the courthouse. I was with 7 or 8 different preachers. I know there's heavy times going on, preacher, and I know this. I know that each one of you is going through a special trial. I was with 8 preachers, and one preacher says, you know what? Sometimes I feel like, and if God doesn't answer this particular prayer in my life, I'm going to forget the whole thing. And 4 of them said, amen. Nice, ouch. Because I had thought that myself. I didn't say it. There's times in everybody's life when they say, oh man, forget it. Well, I mean, the truth will set you free. Has there been a time in your life when you said, oh, forget it? Never? Never? No. You on the radio, I'll ask you to put your hands up if you said, oh, forget the whole thing. I got my hand up, radio audience. How about you in here? Have you ever said that? Forget the whole thing. Not me. Oh, my God. My God. Why not deal with the truth here today? I have never in my whole life ever said, oh, forget it. Put your hands up and say, amen, God, I have said that. Have you never said that, honey? Ever? Ever, ever, ever? No. Okay, I'll tell you what. We have all said that, and I got a lot of people right down here on the north side that are saying it all the time. Oh my God, forget it! Forget it! And you have never, ever... Will you agree with the people that are suffering, my God, and say you have said, I have said, forget it. Now you see, when you deal with the truth will set you free, or you'll be stuck in your own stinking rebellion. Isn't that right, Marty? It's the truth, isn't it? Oh my God, why minister anything else but the truth? And the truth will set you free. Everybody at some time in their life has said, oh my God, forget it! All right. But the point here is that God does not forget it. When you're in that spirit, and when you're in that spirit of depression, and you say, oh my God, I can't go any further. Forget it. God will not forget it. You do. But Jesus says, I will never leave you or I'll never forsake you. Every idea. One of them little things are true, David. And David said, oh, forget it. Are you greater than David? Are you greater than Jesus? Jesus said, oh, Father, if you can take this cup away from me, if you can forget it. And yet, in our own rebellion, I hear you on the radio, rebellion number one in our country today and in our church today is rebellion. You will not admit any fault. None. We're too busy looking at other people's faults. Jesus said, if you can forget it, Father, but if it be your will, thy will be done. And so now A lot of times we're greater than our master. You on the radio now. After that entourage, will you put your hand up? Say that sometime in your walk, you have said, "Oh, forget it, Father." I'm putting my hand up, God. God knows my heart. And they're still out there on the radio. They will not admit it. What is it? It is that I have seen people so sweet and so kind and so upfront and so looking so right that have so much rebellion that they cannot say that they ever had the fault of saying, "My God, I want out." They don't say it, but they walk out. They walk out on the promises of God. They walk out on their work, and they'll use every kind of every damnable excuse to do it. And yet, I'm not the one to judge, because in my own heart, I said, "Oh my God, can we forget this thing? But not my will be done, but yours." And that's what we got to come to. And don't pay no attention to those rebellious folks that cannot admit that they have something wrong. Don't get it caught up in that. "God, I know I have my faults. You have your faults. Any man say he be without sin, and he's a liar, and there's no truth in him." Well, what happens to all those scriptures? Are you hearing it? And so it was with David. What strong words he had often said when he addressed others. He said, "Saul," and he said like this, "his time shall come to die." Now listen to it. "I will not stretch out my hand and touch the Lord's anointed." "Oh, he's going to die, but it won't be by my hand. He'll get his." Now, how many have said that? You've never ever said on the radio, "They're going to get theirs." How many in here have said that? "You'll get yours. Every dog has his day." Do you ever wish that on somebody? "Oh boy, I'll be glad when that guy gets it. Give it to him, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him." Huh? You ever thought that? It's almost like you're a cheerleader. "Ah, sis, bang, boom, hooray, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him, yay!" Do we wish that on one another? All of the time. Saved, non-saved, doesn't matter. You're always wishing that on somebody. Well, they'll get their comeuppance, they will. And see, but whatever that you put out, that exactly what you put out, you will get back to yourself. God does not deal second-handedly. He'll deal with you. Like he deals with me, he'll deal with you. He doesn't deal through your prayers or your wishes or your quoting scriptures. "Oh, here's one for Sister So-and-so. Look what God showed me. Here is a scripture for you, sister. I hope it doesn't kill you. But God gave it to me, and I have to give it to you." No, I just opened the Bible up. If it speaks to you, receive it to yourself. Okay. Now everybody's got fear in their heart. "Oh, it's for me." No, just listen. We get our bread at the risk of our lives. Because of the sword in the wilderness, our skin has become as hot as an oven. Because of burning heat of famine. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? See, I can't give you that scripture. The Holy Spirit has to give it to you. He doesn't give it to you second-handedly. And in the preaching, you might catch one word. I one time ministered on finances. And about half of a church come to know Jesus. The Holy Spirit did it somehow. I didn't know how he did it. I thought, how could all these people come to know Jesus off of finances? The most boring thing there is, talking about finances. Well, see, it's the work of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? See, you cannot work, you cannot finagle, you cannot bring the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, here's the person I was talking about. Introduce. Here, do what you will. I don't want no part of it. It's you. You can't do that. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. No one knows where it comes from, and nobody knows where it's going. Whithersoever, it says. Whithersoever. I seen my woman wrestler. I mean, not my woman. Don't take that wrong. My God. Listen, radio audience. A friend of mine I met in a cafe. Why am I excusing myself? Friend of mine she's turned woman wrestler. She's a waitress, and she said, guess what I'm doing now? I'm a wrestler. And I would like to hold a fundraiser for your church. Oh, God, I can hear you now. Look, now they're getting it. Wrestle not the scriptures to your own destruction. Well, I was sitting there and I listened to her and I said, you know what? And I'm going to minister to you. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm going to give you the gospel message. And they listened so intently. And I knew the Holy Spirit was there, and I led this woman wrestler and her manager to Jesus. Then I seen her the next day, and she says, hey, don't forget, we're putting on a show. A benefit. What do you think I should tell her? Radio audience, send in your cards and letters. Now, I don't want a 15-page letter, okay? Just put a yes or no on it. I'm always very suspicious. I get a letter that's about that fat. And it starts out, brother, I love you. Well, that's all I need to know. I don't want to know how they overcame to come to that first conclusion. That fat. Had to put 67 cents on an envelope to tell me they love me because they got so many unlovely things inside the letter. That's why. It's hot in my hand. It's almost as big as a football. Get out there, huh? Now, most letters I get, and I feel that spirit on them, I burn them. I don't read them. Do you hear that? 67 cents down the tubes. Hey, I got to have my fun. You have your fun? I'll have my fun. I burn them immediately, if not sooner. See, because I don't doubt God. I know my God is able. But he went on, he said, let's get back to this. His time shall come to die, and I will not stretch out my hand and touch God's, Lord's anointed, he said. And so he felt sure that Saul's doom was signed, sealed, and delivered. And yet, in his hour of unbelief, he says, I shall yet one day fall by the hand of Saul. I knowed it. Now I got your attention because I said knowed it. What a strange contradiction. What a mercy it is that God changeth not, because we change 3 or 4 times a day. Don't we? Doesn't our love run from hot to cold? Okay. Here's a little baby. You get him up in the morning. He's all smiley. Oh, baby, and you hug him and squeeze him. But about 10 o'clock, starting to wear kind of thin. About 11 o'clock. Dinner. 12 o'clock. I want my maple! Mom, are you listening to me? Pray. Or the kid will be wearing a maple helmet. Of course, you don't have children yet, but wait till you get them, okay? I'm just telling you like it is. You'll have them. Probably a dozen. You'll grow much wiser after you have a dozen kids, let me tell you. There'll be a lot of suffering involved with each and every one of them. Isn't there? I want my maple! Want your maple? Sure, honey. Maybe you make it through the maple scene. When you go to get them to take their nap, and they won't lay down. And they keep coming out. I want to drink a Wawa. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. Their wants will get to you pretty soon. I told you to get into your room. You're not getting one more thing. Don't you? See, they're born evil. It says, from your mother's womb, you were shapen in iniquity. Do you believe that? I mean, in my mother's womb, I was evil. You were born evil, the Bible says. In your mother's womb, you were shapen in iniquity. Every one of us. All have gone astray. Some are just better actors than others, that's all. Right? Some ham it up. But God loved them all, even though they were shapen in their mother's womb and they were shapen in iniquity. They were shaped in sin. That doesn't leave me nothing. What a message. I came here to skip out of the place and rejoice. Rejoice because your flesh is being diminished. I know mine will be when I get some cards and letters on this message. But at least I get a response. But anyway, what a very strange contradiction. What a mercy it is that God changeth not. God doesn't change. But our own utterances, our own convictions before our clear evidences. And we have clear evidences that this is a lie. That He will leave us and forsake us is a lie. And now I'll bring you before your own thoughts, your own emotions, your own joyous shouts of songs, your own victories, and I ask you to make this consistent with your present doubts. At least give it an even chance. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now, a lot of times people think that because a lot of people think a certain thing, it must be true. Popular opinion has it. But in your own heart, you know it isn't true, and you know you're not to do it. Well, everybody says so. Does that make it right? That's what they said about David when they were encompassed about him. And here he was, a man of God. He was a church man. My heart shall not fear, though war should arise against me. In this I will be confident. And you know who said that? David. And here's something else David said. I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. That's David too. Now here's David again, listen. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom shall I trust? And who was that? David. Now here's David again. I shall one day fall by the hand of Saul. There you are. You You say, well, who does that remind you of? It reminds me of myself. Does it kind of remind you of yourself? Well, don't we say it? Well, how are you? Oh, I'm up today. I'm down today. It's almost like people were using drug terms before there was drugs. Boy, you're up today. Why are you so down today? See, you can create within your own body a chemistry that drugs you. Did you know that? You can poison your own body with your own thoughts, and your thoughts are a drug. You either get high on your thoughts or you get low on your thoughts. I'll take the high road, you take the low road. I'll be in Joplin before you. You hearing this? Now, you've been probably in this church. I've probably known you for what, 10 or 11 years? 10 or 11? Yeah. And haven't you seen this church go through a lot of trials? Has God ever once forsaken this church? Do you think any of you in here or any of you listening that he would do it now, even though it's in a hard place on the north side where there is no money whatsoever? Do you think that he's going to let it down now? No way. Well, we'll just wait and see. I hear someone on the radio saying, well, wait and see. That's what you've done the whole of your spiritual walk. Wait and see. You haven't done anything. You're just waiting to see what other people will do or what they won't do. And we've had a lot of that, haven't we, honey? People waiting to see. Let's wait and see. And it's almost like they wait. And the Lord takes you right through it. But this message reminds me of myself. It does. Don't bring up another evidence. Let the man convict himself. I'm convicted. I mean, his unbelief is absurd from his own showing. Let's talk to ourselves once in a while. Instead of talking to everybody else, let's talk to ourselves. Reason with yourself, the Bible says. And so it is with all of us. We are fools when we doubt God. And that's only saying the best of it. God only knows the worst of it. And let us pray, God, deliver us from this great sin. Doubt that denies God. And so I'm wrapping it up here, but listen. Also, what David said, and listen to this, what David said was contrary to the facts. I mean, not merely contrary to the facts that were in evidence, but contrary to the facts that were transpiring right then and there. Something was happening right then and there. Where was Saul? Where was this anointed one? Where was he? Why, seeking the miserable witch to Endor, to raise Samuel from the dead. I mean, the spears of the Philistines were being sharpened for battle. Saul was to be slain. And yet here's David saying, I shall one day fall by the hand of Saul. Open up your eyes. Discern the times, preacher. Oh, if he could have only read the mysteries, if he could have only understood what the right hand of God was doing right then and there. And what then that the Eternal One designed for him, he never ever would have spoken and whined his unbelief. Never! Things are happening. When it doesn't look like nothing's happening, everything is cutting loose. Did you ever notice that about your own child? It looks like he'll never learn a thing, and all of a sudden he's doing everything. Why is that? Because he decided to do it. Isn't it the same with us? We say this won't work. It'll fail. And the people will say no. No, it won't work. It's doomed to failure. I tell you, I know I feel it. And people will try to convince you otherwise. No. It'll be all right. But you can't convince us sometimes. And this is the very time, a time you feel you are brought low, that God is ready to put you on a high place. How many in here today know and have said, well, the world says it, how low can you go? You can only go so low. When you get down there, just so low. Don't look at that, because God's getting ready to put you on a high place. I was in here whining and crying. I said, God, we have no meat. I got 5.5 tons of beef downstairs. Two trailer loads full of food outside, and the cupboards downstairs are bursting, and there's more food coming in. I have to call the Teamsters up again and ask them if they'll give me 4 more trailers. Well, God has always answered in the past. Why shouldn't He answer now? I know one thing down on the north side, they'll never say, where's the beef? Isn't that wonderful? Why do you get so excited over beef? Because it feeds people. That's why. I mean, that's my ministry. I mean, sometimes people just say, oh, that's so boring. That's dumb stuff. Feeding people. Guy says, well, how's it going? I says, you know what? People won't stop eating. They just keep eating and chomping and eating all the time. I was just kidding, of course. And he said, well, wherever do you store all this stuff? I said, in people's bellies. They're little mobile containers. They're great. And then they eat it and they digest it and we fill them up again. They're so faithful to get rid of it. Oh, I can hear a tisk, tisk on the radio right now. I'll tisk, tisk all you want to. I got 7,000 cans, number 10 cans of sweet potatoes. 3 tons of prunes. We say, what do you need prunes for? With all this government cheese, we need prunes. Let's face it. Now, you old people are glad to hear that. I know that. Call me up all the time. You got any prunes down there? I need me some prunes. Huh? Oh, we got prunes, we got prunes. All got you and got prunes. I remember my dad. He always lived, always took care of his body. And he always ate prunes. I know he's rejoicing. He's a cloud of witnesses and saying, my gosh, that's pretty good to give a prunes. It's good. It's good for the system. Stewed, you can see his lips now, stewed prunes. But it was contrary to the facts. And it's the same with us. I know it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You're on a low, but God's going to put you on a high. How high is a mountain? Well, what do you do? What do you do? You doubt. Yes, I know God's arm has not been shortened. I know all the scriptures, but I don't see any way out on this one, you say. No, you don't need to see any way out. His will be done. And it will get done. God's purposes are ripening. Oh, so many times we want to pick up the green banana. You want to pick up the sour apple. We don't give it time for God's purposes the same way likening it to God. We won't give time for the purposes of God to ripen. And so wait quietly upon Him. Be still, the Bible says, and know that I am God. That's like the kids. They used to come in, Debbie and Cheryl, and they'd be out there playing out there. And they'd come in and they'd say, "When are we going to eat?" And Stevie, Julie, they all come. "When are we going to eat?" They'd be looking up, "Oh, we're going to eat pretty soon. Don't worry about it. We want to eat right now." See, they doubted. "We're never going to eat, I know." Did you ever feel that way when your mom would, she said, "We're going to eat just a minute." And it seemed like she would stir that stew forever. "When are we going to, it's not quite done yet. Go on out and play some more." "Oh, the kids are all eating now. Can we have a peanut butter sandwich?" "No." "Can we have a graham cracker and some milk?" "No. Spoil your dinner." "We're never going to eat." Well, don't we doubt the same way? I mean, things are cooking right now, but we can't wait for it to be done. Right? Things are brewing. "Oh, I know, we're never going to eat." "Oh, hey, don't worry about it." Aren't we? We haven't changed much. I haven't changed much. And I heard someone say, "You can say that again." Well, hey, at least I admit it. See, I was saved by grace, and I'm still saved by the same grace. I can boast, the Bible says, of nothing. Well, you didn't know me before either, did you? That's why I have such a fervor for obeying the Lord. Because God really showed me myself. But anyway, let's look at how it was that David came to think thus of his God. Number one, because he was a man. No. At best, and I think I should say, and the best of men are men at best. That's all you are. David himself said, "Lord, what is a man?" He was disgusted. Well, the Bible says the carnal man hates God. David says man not only is a liar, he says he is a lie. Ask God who hung on a cross, "What is man?" We're dirt, and yet God, and we are dirt, yet God magnifies us. We are unclean, and yet God magnifies us. We are rebellious, and God still loves us and magnifies us. Now, see, we can flatter each other all that we want, but God is true. He loves us. He doesn't flatter. He tells you the truth. I mean, if we always perform great feats and great things, if we always perform great things, if we never sweat while we were in the fire, if we never bat an eyelash in the lion's den, we got in the lion's den, and we just stood there. If we had to walk into the fire and we didn't struggle a little bit going in. If we never flinched at the whip. You ever been whipped? I remember years ago in boys' school, Plankington, South Dakota. I was 13 years old and they couldn't do nothing with me, so they threw me in there. And they had these belts. Remember I'm talking about a belt? Big old, I mean, not like this thing here. It's half cardboard. Look at that cheap thing. I'm talking about rawhide. And they would take the belt off of their pants Usually there were great big fat honkers. You know what I mean, these guys? And they'd fold it over a couple of times, and then they would lay this belt on you. I'm talking back a ways. 40 years.
That was the conclusion to episode 196. That was part two, Doubting. Please join us next Friday for episode 197. God's will is your deliverance. God bless you and have a great week.
When the Lord, yeah, dwells.